Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. And all those on the webcast, it's good to be here. It's God's Sabbath day, a day that He commanded for us to be here. What a blessing it is to know of His ways. Some of you won't know because of our guests, but the last time I spoke, was about watching. Watching world events and local events in the aspect of looking at them in the kingdom of God, preparing ourselves for the kingdom. We have heard that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Do we look at ourselves at being priests? And do we see ourselves as kings? A reference scripture would be 1 Peter 2, verse 9. I hope so. We are to develop now these qualities in order to rule in the millennium. When Jesus Christ returns and sets up His government on this earth, it will be with us, and we'll be ruling in it with Jesus Christ and all the greats that were before, who will be resurrected. What an amazing event that will be. As we know, the feast days are here. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, and with each of us serving besides Him, and those in the resurrection, as I mentioned. What will the conditions be with the people when he returns? Brethren, we can turn to Galatians 5. I'll be going there eventually. But if you want to go to Galatians 5, I'm going to be using my phone for it because it does have a concordance in there. Galatians 5 starts to show the mindset of people in daily life on this earth. These people will be the ones who will be living after Jesus puts down the corruption and evil of this earth. So let's turn to Galatians 5 and start in verse 19. And it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanliness." Lasciviousness is like unbridled lust, excess, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shameless, insolence. These are some of the conditions and thoughts that the people will be that's going on right now in our own country. People are just not having God in their life. So there's much of idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And in verse 21, envious murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike of that which I tell you before, as I have always told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Of course, we know if there's repentance, there is a chance for all people. You know, there will be many people who will be mentally disturbed, some knowing nothing more than killing or war to fight to get their way. There will be many people who are rapists, and people are we're going to need a strong hand. That means the kings and priests that we'll be, we need to be training ourselves now and learning to be emulating Jesus Christ and the fruits of that Spirit now in our lives so that we can learn to be those kings and priests. As a king, we are to serve and enforce the law of God to them, and priests to teach the way that they know not about God's laws. We have to teach them about the holy days and who Jesus Christ is, because they're going to have to come to repentance through that time also, and why He died and what their future will be and can be. But what about now? How are we preparing for this mission? Is there something that we need to be doing to prepare for that change? And how are we doing in that preparation? We may be preparing, but are we preparing wholeheartedly and with urgency? I'd like to go to Galatians 5 again, and let's go to verse 22. It talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, I look at the fruit, the main fruit is love. If any of you have been around the ocean, you know those cabbage heads, there's this brown cabbage head, and the tentacles are coming down, you know, the little stingers on there. I look at love as the main focus part of it. And those tentacles are coming down with the remainder of the fruits of the Holy Spirit are. Off of that fruit of love, We have joy. Do we have joy in our lives? If not, we should be developing that joy. Do we have the agape love, true godly love within us? These are things that we can judge how we are doing in preparing to be the priests and kings that we need to be. Do we have long suffering? I was just talking before services started. That is one that I'm really working on myself. I know some have mentioned in the past that patience is very difficult in their lives, and it is for me too, because when I get up, I always refer to the highway. That's where I usually lose my patience with people, and today I'm starting to stop myself as I go. So I'm learning. That's a weakness in myself. But how are we improving on these things? Are we becoming more gentle? Do we have gentleness and goodness? Do we have full faith in God and His Word? Do we have meekness? Temperance? How are we doing it? Do we fly off the handle quickly? These things that we need to be changing and working on in our lives, building to be just like Jesus Christ. And against such, there is no law. So we can examine ourselves to those fruits. And how are we doing? Are we developing the mind of God in us? So when we are changed, we can be there. If we don't have all these developed in us, will we be in the kingdom? I believe we are if we develop any of these, because we have to be the kings and priests and teaching those in the future. We need to be working harder than ever before to live this way of life. If not now, my printer didn't work out. If not now, how can we handle those who are ruling in the kingdom? All of a sudden, we can't be just going and start throwing a lightning bolt down because someone just didn't listen to the way they should have. No, we have to have that guiding hand, that loving attitude toward those, because they have been through a rough time. And it may take a generation or two for them to change, for time to go on. Because we know when Israel was going to go into the promised land, there was some, they didn't believe in the witnesses, the spies in the land. You know, they took a whole generation or 40 years in that case before they can enter the promised land. So it may take a while for these people to catch on. And the best thing about that is what did we just come through? The Feast of Atonement. What a blessing that is, because it'll help us out during that time, because Satan will not be around influencing the minds of the people. The feast has been said many times, that we've heard ministers say in the past, is a foretaste of the reality of the kingdom. But we know the kingdom is not here yet. That does always bother me. How is it a foretaste? Here I'm at church, helping to carry a bunch of luggage and stuff, 4 kids hanging behind me. You know, how is that a foretaste of the kingdom? Well, I'm starting to learn a little more about that now too, because when we're there, do we look for opportunities to serve? Do we look at, maybe there's some new folks that are there that aren't even in church or just trying to find out what's going on? We need to be there to show them the way, to get in conversations with the folks at the feast, or who knows, maybe there are young folks there. They're just newly baptized. They're drinking the milk of the word. Maybe we can guide and help them. This is doing our priestly duties and training and working, and this can all be done at the feast. You know, in Leviticus 23 is where the feast days are at, aren't they? In Leviticus 23, it's a command from God to be at the feast. Of course, we know, except for maybe, I don't know any other reasons, except for health reasons, we all should be at the feast. And I'm talking in terms of church, the people of God, that need to be at the feast. And I say that because I know folks, and heard of folks in the past, that especially farmers, you know, they got their crops out there. You know, they go to the feast. Some of them may go to the feast, and this has been some brethren in the church. They go to the holy days, but they just haven't got that strong enough faith, and they go home and go do their harvest. This is not what God wants, is it? We need to have that faith and leave behind. We know a whole year in advance that we're going to be keeping these, and they need to make arrangements. But we need to be able to see, leave our homes, go into what we call the sukkot, or hotels in this case. I'm not one for camping, as Mr. Prince said. I remember my dad saying his style of camping is the nearest Holiday Inn. And I believe him. I'll take a Holiday Inn. I'll take anything than being out in a tent on the ground. But you know, so just may lack a little faith. And in due time, hopefully, that will change in folks. As disciples of Christ, nothing such as our family, our work, whether it be our cows or our chickens or pigs, well, maybe you got a pot-belly pig, I'm not sure, but we all need to make arrangements so that we can attend the feast, and nothing should interfere with our relationship with God, and that is to be at the Feast of Tabernacles, because he says we're to be there for the 7 days, and of course we know the last day, the great day, is another holy day. We live in modern times, so our sukkah is maybe a hotel, as I said. This is also preparing to be kings and priests because the church upholds God's commandments. I'd like to leave with a couple points, or I should maybe say a couple lessons to think about what the feast pictures. The lesson one is for what the feast will do, is lesson one is that we are to appear before God to learn to fear him. To learn the lesson of obedience and the meaning of his wonderful government. You know, we can't learn that if we're not there, brethren, isn't it? There are folks that just want to stay home and do the internet all the time, and that's just not what God wants. If we can be there, boy, it's wonderful, because we can learn so much more than sitting in a home. Lesson two is that mankind will learn to rejoice in the Almighty God, Creator, the provider of all our blessings and all the bountiful blessings that we receive. In reference scripture there is Deuteronomy 14:26, and I forgot to mention my reference scripture for my first point was Deuteronomy 14:23. Well, brethren, I would like to turn to one scripture, Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, no, I'm not going to read Deuteronomy 16:16. That's brought up about the holy day offerings. But Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13, what does it say? It says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your wine press. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your male servant and your female servant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow, and all who are within your gates." Of course, we're in a more modern times, but if we have someone hired to do our chores at home, well, they don't need to be going to keep the feast like we do. But so we are to go there. This is what it says. And what is it saying in verse 15? 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in a place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you can surely rejoice. We know God is going to take care of the things that we leave behind. We will be blessed, and we'll be blessed greatly if we keep the commandments of God and keep his way and attend the feast. So, brethren, I know a lot of us are all ready to go. I will be traveling on tomorrow ourselves to Rapid City, South Dakota. May you all have a wonderful feast and find ways to put into being those priests, teaching and helping anyone that you can see that can maybe learn a little more about God's way. And I know out in Rapid City this feast they're going to have the Kingdom of God seminar, so that'll be another opportunity for the church to be able to express God's word and be able to teach about the Kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. So brethren, have a wonderful feast, and may God give you abundance of God's Holy Spirit.